Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hanna baby. Introducing a new collection, Hanna Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hanna quality for your most precious gift. Hanna Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannaanderson.com. Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hanna baby. Introducing a new collection, Hanna Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hanna quality for your most precious gift. Hanna Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannaanderson.com.
Hello, No Bet Dog Army. This is a wonderful podcast. Probably, again, one of the first podcasts that we've done specifically on what you guys should immediately do when you bring home a new dog, no matter the age. So this is a very committed dog owner, big No Bad Dog Army fan. So he knows the deal. He's ready to start with a new dog. And we go over every step of the way here. And one of the things that we talk about at the end, guys, is the opportunity to work with my staff. So if you guys are out there and you have a dog and you want to learn more and you want to continue your education, the No Bad Dog Members Club, I don't want to say this isn't an ad, but the way that we made the Members Club, you guys, specifically is for dog owners that have trouble but also want to learn more. You guys are getting my personal Upstate Canine Academy staff. And I was telling him at the end of this, it's $300 an hour just to talk to my staff members on the phone. For $39.99, that's the top tier. You guys get everything in the Members Club. So you get my staff throughout the month. You also get all of the unreleased footage. And every single week, we add a new video to the club. I also go personally live to answer your questions, which is another $500. And you're getting what other people pay, $3,000 to $5,000 for every single week being added to the Members Club. So it is the overall most concentrated dog training tutorials that you can get at your house to train your dog. And right now I know we've been doing this for over a year and a half in the Members Club, and each week we add something new. So every single week the club gets more valuable and valuable, and the price will go up later this year. So again, if you guys want more resources, you want help, right? I put my team in there because people needed reinforcements. They're like, okay, I watched this video, but my dog has this one particular thing. Ask my staff all month long. Utilize them. You guys can click the link below to join the Members Club. The lowest tier is $19.99, which basically gives you everything except the pro team. And then if you do the pro team, you get access to my personal staff at the Upstate Canine Academy. You also get access to tickets on seminars, which sell out. You get new merch. You get everything first. It's the Members Club, right? You get everything first. And then again, you get all my unreleased stuff. So on YouTube, you're getting a 10 to 15 minute video. And then in the Members Club, you're getting the whole seminar. I mean, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And again, yes, I'm talking about this because I want you guys to join, but I want you to join because the reinforcement and the ability for my staff to walk you through the problems and then be able to go watch a video or whatever and then go live with me once a week to reinforce again. To be honest, you don't need a dog trainer. That's what this is. So anyway, you guys can click the link below. I hope you guys enjoy this podcast. If you guys want to ask me questions and you're listening on the podcast, go ahead and leave your review in the iTunes review chart and I'll answer it next episode. And at the end of this podcast, I'll be answering three. Hope you guys enjoy it. Talk to you at the end. All right, what's going on?
Not much, man. I'm a very huge fan of yours. Sweet. Helped me with the rescue just by watching your videos, but the only problem is the person I was dating didn't follow along either, so it was very inconsistent. But he was a good pup, and obviously, like, when we broke up, she took the dog. So basically a few months passed by and I just found another one, and he so happens to be a half German Shepherd, half Husky, and it's my first time with the breed, and I get him after July 10th, so I'm doing something different this time. I'm erasing everything I think I know. And after watching a lot of the stuff that I've seen from your videos, I wanted to talk to you first before I even received them, because I just have a ton of questions and I'd rather just start off on the right foot and then be organized before he even gets here.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. Yeah, that's great. All right. What do you want to start with?
So, well, first, I'm not even sure where to start. So I guess I'll just start asking random questions, I guess. Because this is a breed I haven't actually had myself, but my friends have German Shepherds and they're all like very well behaved and awesome dogs. Since he's a half breed and I saw him on FaceTime, he has a lot of energy, but he takes commands really well. He's really good with kids. He's really good with dogs. He's in a foster home right now. He's been in the foster home since January. He's from Texas. He was a stray dog. They have a huge problem over there in Texas, apparently. So after I saw him, I can tell he's got a ton of energy, which is great because I'm pretty active. But I'm used to, when I got dogs, to just let them chill the first couple of days and just like get used to just being in my place or wherever I was. My friends that have German Shepherds are telling me that it's better if I just start the training and the structure right away. And I don't know exactly what they meant by that because they're not trainers. They're just friends of mine that have dogs. So I guess my whole question is, when I'm basically going to talk to you as if I've never had a dog, even though I've had dogs, I'm trying to figure out the best way, since he's being transported from Texas to New York and I'll be picking him up and I know he's going to be super stressed. And then we haven't even met, what you would recommend as the best steps, like for my first couple of days and how soon I should start, with training.
Yeah. So every dog is obviously different. You could get some dogs and they're pretty much like gangbusters, full blown, like ready to go, right? You know, the first 5 minutes. Other dogs take a little bit more time. It really just depends on the personality of the dog. I know that you're seeing a lot of energy on the videos and the FaceTime and stuff, but that's under this particular dog's, you know, comfort zone, area that he's comfortable with. So you just have to feel it out. I would say boundaries is something that I put in place pretty immediately with all of my dogs. Again, depending on how the dog's personality is, depends on what the boundaries look like. So, you know, that could be, you're building your relationship with the dog through boundaries. That's what boundaries do. Boundaries at scale builds a better understanding of the relationship between the dog and the human. And it also, of course, keeps the dog safe, keeps the dog under control. So like the smaller picture is the dog is a little bit, you know, better behaved, I guess, in the beginning. So typically what I do when I get a new dog into the situation is I just start with those boundaries with thresholds. So that could be doorways, crates, depending on what the dog is, you know, if they're crate trained or whatever, but doorways, crates. And what that does is it just, whenever you have a threshold, there's always or typically a door involved with that threshold or a frame. So the dog just thinks that they're just going to run through it. They're like, hey, I'm running right through this. And what you want to do is you want to give the dog a different perception of what life is. It's like, hey, there's, especially with rescues, especially with dogs who are coming up, you know, that have been in shelters or fosters with little to no structure at all, it's basically a free-for-all. So the moment you start layering in structure, you're basically saying, hey, there's rules here. Not in the beginning, nothing too strict and nothing too crazy. It's just there is rules. I want you to start at least acknowledging that I exist. And so that's where that comes in. So for an example, put the dog on a leash inside. You go in towards the front door and you immediately just start working on thresholds at that door. So you're just going to, nope. And you just kind of pop the dog back, give the dog a couple of seconds to realize what's happening, and then break the dog through with a verbal command. Just say, okay, break. So you're basically just saying, hey, hold my hand before you cross the road. It's just very common dogmanship, if you will. And this, again, we'll start putting the dog into a good place. So how old is the dog?
So on his paperwork, it says that he's like 3-ish.
Okay.
The lady who I spoke to, well, that's the thing. That's the other thing that's always like interesting, is because whenever I've found my dogs, I've had two other ones where like me and my girlfriend rescued, and then like a bunch when I was a kid. But when I found my dog, they told me he was my former dog. He was a plot hound and that he was like 2 years old. And then I wound up finding out that he was actually 5 years old and he was like a half pit bull, half Chihuahua, German Shepherd, Foxhound mix.
Mm-hmm.
So on his paperwork, it says 3. The lady told me he's a little bit over 2. So I'm guessing he's in the general range vicinity, maybe.
Yeah. So not a puppy, but not an elder dog. So I would just say, yeah, just start adding in those boundaries. And I typically just start off with like just a slip leash or a martingale collar. Just keep it simple. It's a really simple process in the beginning. And again, you can do that with a lot of different things. You can do it. Thresholds could be essentially a threshold to me is anything that the dog will instinctually want that we have to gatekeep to say. And again, it's just like kids, right? It's like, if you're making food or you're going to Disney or you're going to the water park or whatever, and they're just instinctually going to be like wanting to bust at the seams, like, give me that. I want that. I want to get there. And you just have to lay that groundwork down to say, yeah, I know, you just got to wait for me. And that will, and again, that's just your relationship. And the way that I look at it is the way I look at a lot of things in life is the more control you have under those thresholds, just the easier life is, the less stressful life is, right? Dogs, kids, doesn't matter. You go to a park and all the kids are just very, very obedient and very like, dad's got to put my stuff down. I got to take out this, just everyone be patient for a couple minutes. And the kids are just excited and they're giddy. They say, okay, everyone go. And then the kids just run off versus like you pull into the parking lot and there's kids that are just opening the door as the car's still moving, running, and they just don't listen at all. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's the same thing with dogs is like, you got to have that, hey guys, I need you to pay attention. And that will just, what I find for most relationships is it makes the bonding process smoother, and it also makes the dog at ease. Like a lot of dogs, especially who have been neglected, abandoned, or abused, or dogs who are in shelters, or dogs who are in fosters, or dogs who just don't have like structure, like little orphan Annie type stuff, they kind of long for leadership. And in my experience, I've seen, especially a lot of fosters and stuff, they're just trying to, keep dogs out of shelters. And so they're just the fun people, they're the fun. A lot of them don't have the time to spend to train, and especially because they usually have a house full or, a couple or whatever. So not always, but anyway, so the moment that you start adding in structure and leadership and guidance, the dog just starts looking at you like, oh, okay, you're going to call the shots. And that just puts you off on a right track there.
So it's never too early then. Like it's not like because I remember watching a video and you totally like woke me up because I can only reference my most recent experience and relationship. Like they obviously like are overboard and treat their pets as like their children and stuff. And I mean, they're great pets and they're a great family and everything. But whenever I tried to train, it was like impossible because I was the only one training, but every time I walked him, he listened to me. He knew that I was the one that was giving him structure, but everybody else, he was just running crazy, like all around the place.
Yep.
So that's why, yeah, that's why I always thought that, you know, it's like a person, I guess, where like they would come in, it's like, all right, you just chill and just get accustomed to the spot. And then we'll start training once you're feeling comfortable. But as far as the doorway stuff, that's great, because doorway I've done and it works great.
Mm-hmm.
They also told me that he's kennel trained, and I have the exact crate, which I never used. So it's like brand new, but, apparently they told me that he loves his crate. And so they're sending me his blanket and all that stuff. I've asked for like all the stuff to make sure that he doesn't feel, so there's some sort of like resemblance of where he came from, because apparently he was really happy there. And the same type of food too, which just so like, you know, his diet's the same and everything else. I'm trying to make sure that he's comfortable and yep. as comfortable as I can possibly make him, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and for me, there is a difference between training and structure, and structure, right? So like training, I mean, in the context that you're giving is different. So
okay.
training for me normally is not any different, but the training that you're kind of providing, you're talking about obedience. Training, you know, it could be anything, right? Like training could be, training is essentially practice. So think, replace training with practice, and then ask yourself, like, right. is it too early to practice? Is it too early to practice this stuff? And a lot of times it's not. So the difference would be, with obedience training, traditionally it'd be like getting into sit down, stay, heel, leave it, recall. That's something that I typically don't do until the relationship is good. So until the dog can start understanding to look at me for, again, that's what thresholds does. The thresholds is training, but a training is a huge umbrella, right?
Yeah.
Training could be crate training, sleep training, potty training, whatever. So, that's like my input on it is I don't necessarily get, you know, immediately into hammering away obedience, but what I'll do is I'll start with thresholds where I'm like, hey, pay attention. No, you can't go out this door. And a lot of times for me too, it's different because the dog has gotten away with everything their whole life. And that's probably what's going to happen with the dog that you're going to get is it's a very probably unstructured dog. So they're not going to be used to boundaries. They're not going to be used to any of that. And so, but that's what I mean is like, you have to pretty much immediately draw that line. And, you know, it's just, think about it. Like if you were adopt a kid, right? You adopt a kid, kid is 9 years old. They come into your house and then they just go crazy. Like you're not going to think twice to be like, oh, I'm going to wait a couple weeks for him or her to stop drawing on the cabinets and, you know, slurping chocolate syrup out of the jug. Like you're going to immediately add structure. You may not say like, hey, we're going to do our ABCs or we're going to do algebra today, but you're going to immediately start helping the dog or the kid or whatever understand basic rules and boundaries in order to, you know, maintain a healthy lifestyle within your household. And that's where a lot of people fail. And this is a great topic, and I'm glad that you brought it up, because a lot of dog owners, it's the same thing when they get a puppy. They get like a 9 week old, you know, whatever puppy. And what I'm saying right now is the same exact thing that I would do with a puppy. Like I wouldn't start with all the, you know, it's the same thing with kids, right? It's not like, okay, say, you know, whatever. It's like, say mama, say dada. It's not say like a full sentence, right? It's just very small baby steps, right? And I'm bringing kids into it, A, because I always do, because it's easy for human behavior, but I also have a 10-month-old, so I'm dealing with all these things myself. But with puppies, it's the same thing as I put structure on all my puppies like the day they come home. Like I teach them boundaries. I teach them thresholds. That's why I made that Kickstarter course, to kind of give people a good start. But
yeah,
all that's really great. Just to say, hey, whoa, whoa, I'm here. I exist. But like I said, this is important. Context matters, right? Because you may get an absolutely crazy 10-week-old puppy that is like going nuts. And then you might get a 10-week-old puppy, like a St. Bernard puppy or something, that just sleeps until they're 6 months. you know? Yeah. So it really varies. And that's the distinguishing thing here is.
What do you recommend for, okay, so like one of the first things that I was thinking about also was like, obviously I'm going to have to walk them right away. And in the way that like,
yep.
When, because I'm going to, you know, obviously that's all part of every, I'm going to have to take them out, you know, a bunch of times just so I'm taking off a couple of days of work. I'm going to make sure that I'm home 5 days a week.
Nice.
I mean, for the first 5 days, leading into the weekends, because I want to make sure that I'm here like every single day so we can build that bond. And, but obviously day one, I'm going to walk him. So, when it comes to the walk, I can start that right away as well.
Yeah.
Or is that something stay in the backyard and just kind of like hang with him and have him like start paying attention to me? Cause that's one of the other things I was thinking about was like, should I take him on long walks right away?
Yeah, it's a good question. So what you want to do is no training is better than bad training. So this dog doesn't know heel. You haven't gotten into the basic structure of obedience yet. So all you would do is you would start off with just telling the dog, like I this is what I do with, again, with all my puppies. And we're actually doing, I'm getting a couple puppies in, a puppy and then an adult dog. And I'm going to bring them into my house and do 2 weeks. This is gonna be really helpful for you. I'm getting them, I think next week or the next weekend or something. And I'm going to try to do a daily vlog of like every single day. This is what I would do with a dog in my house, but, it doesn't help you this moment. So right now it's about, the break command. So what I'll do is I'll get a dog out and I'll do the thresholds at the door, say, wait for me. And that will increase. Like in the beginning, it's going to be me standing next to the dog. Pressure, nope. Pressure, nope. Pressure, nope. They stop. They kind of like, well, this sucks. And then I go, okay, break. And they're like, oh, I can go. I'm like, yeah, you can go, just on my terms, not yours. You're a puppy. I'm a human. Right. You know, you're a baby. I'm not. So having that structure to make sure that the dog is responsive. But then on top of that, the break command. So you'll just tell the dog break or your release command. And that will then basically tell the dog like, okay, you can be a dog, do what you want. You know, break is just on my terms, recess, you know, fair game, do whatever you want. So in the beginning, because you're not gonna, you know, start teaching heel the first day or the second day. And even if you were, the long, you know, the distance and the duration of how long your heel isn't going to be good anyway. So
right. If
you're going to work on leash pressure, you can. Like you can work on leash pressure the first day, totally fine. I don't like getting dragged. I, you know, I've been doing a lot of work massage-wise on my back to get it, you know, in good shape. So I really enjoy my back right now. So, you know, just years of getting dragged around, it's not so great, but... which is why I started using prong collars. But anyway, so yeah, so in the beginning, don't feel like you can't do obedience or anything like that. It's just, if you're going to do anything, make sure it's in small increments and it's fair. So let's say, again, like this is a shepherd husky mix. So he's going to be a medium to larger sized dog. So right out the front door. Yeah,
like on the smaller size, because he's only 54 pounds.
That's still like medium to large. Like most dogs are... 15 pounds, you know, 20 pounds, small dog. So he still is, you know, not a small dog.
Yeah.
So my point is, you know, you can't hold him with your finger like you could a pug or something. So when you go outside, you can start with your brakes, you know, out the door, the threshold, and then just kind of what I do a lot of times just to let the dog know, like I will mark brake. Like I would be marking a heel. Like, so when I'm doing heel with the dog and they're completing it and doing well, I'll say good heel. And I'll just feed them that word. Yep. Heel. Yep. 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 Heel. This is what that is. Do you get it? Do you get it? Do you get it? Great job. Especially in the foundation. And then I'll do the same thing with break. I'll say break and the dog will be out and I'll say break and I'll kind of pat their side and I'll just let them know like, hey, good break. Good break. Like I'm letting them know like this, what you're doing with your body and where you are in position of your body with me is a break. Same thing as a heel, right? I'm just like really layering it in. And then when you're ready, if you wanted to do a little bit of leash pressure, you could just, you know, do a heel. But yeah, so to answer your question, long walks are good. obviously exercise is great. You're going to find that boundary. Like some people have dogs who are out of control. Like if I have a dog that is absolutely out of control and is killing me, like dragging me, then I immediately start with heel work, like immediately. Like if I get a larger dog and they're immediately starting to just go crazy, you know, and again, it's just like, it's being assertive. It's again, it's just like with kids. Like you might get a kid that's like, think of a dog's personality and they come outside and they're kind of like, wow, where is this place? Who are you? Sniffing a little bit, no big deal. Break. Yep, be a dog. Go ahead. You're good. Go. Just really encourage them to just be a dog and relax and gain that confidence between, you know, your team. But then you might get the dog that's just like, woof, woof, woof everywhere. And then you're like, okay, I have to step up to the plate now. I'm not waiting. I can't wait.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, that's what I was kind of wondering is like, since I'm still trying to bond with him, and if I go for a walk around the neighborhood and he's like not good on a leash, then it's probably time to go back to the house and just jump in the yard and just start,
just
start training a little bit. Yeah. I have experience with martingales. The martingale is amazing, I think. But I ordered your slip leash, for the little pop pop, just in case. For the practice training. And so I never actually used it before. So it's basically just snug right behind the ears, just like the martingale, right? And would I put that on with the martingale on as well? Because this is the one thing I always wondered. In my previous dog, I gave him a collar. And then when we would go out for walks, I'd put on the martingale. Mm-hmm. And then go out for walks. And then some people tell me not to use the martingale as a regular collar, and others have. And I'm always like wondering, like, do I need a regular collar, or can I just leave a martingale on them? Or, you know what I mean?
Yeah, the martingale is a nice hybrid. That's what my dog Lakota wears every day. That's her every day. So there's like I call them everydayers, everyday collar. Collar. So that's what I use with Lakota. She has a Herm Springer stainless steel black martingale, and that's her every day. So that's like, I could leash her up with that. I can grab her with that. You know, whatever. It's good for tags and things like that. So yeah, you could train with that. That could be your every day. It's kind of a universal collar. That's why I like them, and they're safe because they're basically like a half of a slip collar or slip leash, because they don't give you like a full correction, but they give you a little bit of pressure. So yeah, that's like my everyday wear for my dogs. So you could, what you're saying is you have a flat collar and then you have your training collar that you're using as a martingale, but you could just use your martingale and take your flat collar off and just, yeah. As long as your martingale's fit, right? That's what I do.
Got it. And then I could just throw the slip collar over, and then just use the slip collar for corrections. And then, and then that have my dog like wear the martingale just as a regular collar. And that's.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. You would use the slip leash as a, like a fine tuning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Collar. And that's going to help you more. That's going to help you. It's going to be more sensitive to the dog because of the positioning. So our No Bad Dog slip leashes are, I don't tell people, like, anything that I would sell myself, especially if it has No Bad Dogs on it, is something that I, like, over the years have, like, figured out this is it. So a lot of slip leashes will have a leather tab or a nylon cloth tab. And so the tab basically keeps the slip in place. And my slip leash that you bought has the spring-loaded tab. So when you put the tab into place, it doesn't move at all.
Got it.
So you're going to get more points of... You're just going to get a better control over your dog because the collar isn't sliding down.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got the pouch too because I like the whole like...
Yep.
Cool. Yeah. Great. I was like, oh, this is awesome.
Yeah.
The leash that you have that's long, Do you have any recommendations in the brand or anything that you, the very long one where like you do the recall training? Because.
No, there's.
This is just probably like a my problem, but I hate like just researching stuff, looking up stuff myself and guessing whether or not it's a good quality leash. Mm-hmm. Sure. I'd rather just, I ask like 50 people what they recommend, then I just find the one that's the most highly recommended one, and then I get it. But
yeah, no, I get it. So long lines, I typically do, I used to do nylon, but then that sucks for your hands. So I switched to, not nylon. Yeah, nylon. So like the fabric, I don't use those anymore. Like the cotton fabric, I use more like biothane or leather. So that's what I use. Herm Springer, I don't think we have them on our site, but we're pretty much like this year, I'm really working on products myself. So pretty much anything that you would need, hopefully by the end of the year, we sourced and have our brand on it, just because again, like we get hundreds of these questions a day. And so we're going to try to have a full site of everything that you need. But yeah, just get something with rubber for a long line. You can go on Amazon and just get like a rubber, like nylon or rubber or leather is super expensive. So I would just get like a rubber leash. And those are good because it's just better for your hands when you're holding on. And they're easier to clean. We started getting into biothane a lot during COVID. And then I just was like, well, this is way better. You know, it's more cost effective as well. So
there's some like, hold on. I had some other stuff that I was going to ask you and I totally forgot. Since they told me he's kennel trained and that he loves his kennel, his crate. So I had bought a crate mm-hmm. for my previous dog and I used it wrong. That was all on me. Mm-hmm. Totally used it wrong. Now I kind of understand just by watching and researching more of like how to use it, because I definitely went into the crate like not experienced and he just wound up hating it, so we just didn't use it and that was it. We never used it. But is there a certain, I guess, like, what's your advice in using a crate? If they're telling me I'm really fully aware that whatever they tell me might work for them, but it might not work for me. And mm-hmm. obviously environment, he'll be in a different environment over here. And I have plenty of, the good thing is where I work, I can come home at any time. I work in the city, but I'm like 35 minutes away. So if I have to get home, I can, but I would like to get to a point where I don't have to rush home for anything and just have them like completely chill in the house. And I'm the way that I used the crate last time, because I used it as, oh, a crate, great. Jump in here. Let me close this up. I've already walked you, fed you. You're totally happy. And now I'm going off to work and we'll be back. And then, you know, I take care of my mom too. So we were in like a ranch house. We have a huge yard, but like she would just message me and say like your dog's just barking and like howling and stuff. Mm-hmm. So we'd come back and he'd be like, get me the hell out of this thing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this crate stuff isn't working.
Yeah, well, you know, the crate is, in general, the crate is however you present it to your dog, that's how they will perceive it. Like anything else, like you can introduce anything and make it more enjoyable than in another way. So my suggestion, you know, my answer is the crate is just, it's just another tool in the toolbox. It's great for like multi-dog homes. You know, when I had three dogs living with me, the crate was good for my youngest dog, who's now seven, to, you know, feed, she eats on her, like I would separate the dogs during eating. It was a safe way to do it. It's also like their place to go and relax if they want to. My dog doesn't do any of that, but my older dogs have in the past. So the crate is just kind of like their room. Like, it, you know, it's, I don't buy into like the whole like den stuff and it's cheesy, but it's true. They do like to have like their own space, like everyone else, you know, a lot, like almost every animal and definitely every human likes their own space. So it's a place for them to go and chill and relax if they want to, or they can get away with stuff, get away from stuff. So that's that. I would say the crate is also really good for keeping your dog safe. So a lot of people don't understand, like there's
our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hannah baby. Introducing a new collection, Hannah Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hannah quality for your most precious gift. Hannah Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannahanderson.com. Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hannah baby. Introducing a new collection, Hannah Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hannah quality for your most precious gift. Hannah Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannahanderson.com.